us sing to God's glory. Psalm number 62 is where we're singing this evening. Again, we're only singing three psalms to limit the exhalation of carbon dioxide into the air. Psalm 62, verses 1 to 4. Let us pray together once again. Eternal God, we recognize from the Scriptures that our days are in God's hand, that the breath of our nostrils is a daily provision, and that our days are numbered and few and passing very swiftly. We are reminded in the Scriptures to live day by day with eternity's values always before us, and living as those who are strangers and pilgrims upon the earth, in the recognition that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come, and that this world is not our ultimate or even our real home. Even now, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile, our lowly body, the body of our humiliation, to be conformed unto his glorious body, according to that power wherewith he is able to subdue all things unto himself. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that the gospel sometimes seems to be far away. The gospel history increasingly is far away. The events are receding into the background more and more, into that dim past that we call ancient history. And it is good for us, as we read the Scriptures and gather together, to be reminded of how up-to-date and relevant, contemporaneous with us, is the message of Jesus Christ, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We acknowledge, Lord, that sometimes when we look at the passing of time, and how long it seems to be that we must wait before the coming of Christ again, we recognize that this is sometimes tedious, and sometimes our patience and our understanding is stretched almost beyond our capacity to endure. And we recognize that in times of emergencies and upsets, where our regular routines are disrupted, whether by war or by illness or pandemics or political upheavals, Sometimes God's people, as it were, almost invent doctrines of the coming again of Christ in order to speed up the message and to speed on his coming. And sometimes, Heavenly Father, we fall into that way of thinking where our patience is almost at an end, and yet we are commanded always to be on the watch on the one hand, to be enduring on the other hand, and to live in the knowledge that the Bible teaches clearly and finally that that day and that hour is not known to any, not to the Son, not to the angels, only to the Father, but it is known to the Father. And we recognize that he does all things well, has no need to change plans, postpone events, or alter any arrangement because of unforeseen circumstances or emergencies. So again, as we gather here this evening, we would say with the psalmist of old that we are content to leave our days in God's hand. And as we do so, we come again to worship. This is the purpose of our gathering, O Lord. We come to worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Three divine persons, but not a triune Godhead. Trinitarian in unity, one God, the mystery of God, revealed in his Son, revealed in the Holy Spirit, and revealed as the Father. And we cannot understand it, and we possibly will never understand it, but the Scriptures teach it, and so we believe. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that in the providence that allows us to gather again this evening, we have indications of kindness and long-suffering and the open Scripture, a visible token of a means of grace, because God for us has a purpose of grace. And so as we gather here, we do lament on the one hand those who could and should be with us but are not. But we also rejoice in those who gather here and throughout the whole world where gatherings such as we have now are indeed being held. And the gospel is being named. Christ is upheld. And in that we rejoice. So help us this evening, O God, in the midst of massive unbelief in the world, in the midst of massive apostasy and backsliding in the church, help us to raise our voices in glad praise, recognizing that God listens in, as it were, and God listens with discrimination, with pleasure, and with close attentiveness. And so we pray that this evening we would be on our best behavior, that we would do our best for God, because God has done and is doing his best for us. So as we gather here, we confess once again the failings of our fall, our fallen nature, and the good that we do not do it. The evil that we do not wish to do is what we do. We confess that we are wretched in ourselves, but thanks be unto God who delivers us through Jesus Christ. And so we praise God in his name once again this evening, seeking mercy and grace to help us now in this our time of need. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let us read now in... We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read from the beginning. We're going to be thinking about the resurrection this evening. And this is this chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, as you probably know, is the great statement, the exposition of the significance of the resurrection. And Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet or not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so you believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, most to be pitied. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." And so on. And the intimations are our Wednesday meeting, 7 o'clock, next Lord's Day, 10:30. A.M., 6 p.m., we welcome visitors always. And again, we just remind one another, take care of one another's health. Not only because the law says so, but because the gospel says so. We will now receive the offering. Psalm number 62 is still our praise, and we sing from verse 5 to verse 8. Psalm 62, 5 to 8.
Amen.